Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Bet. Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Mechiper. It says here that he's gonna attempt to obtain kapara through his par. Gemara says, Vekaparat Dvarim Haktuv Medaber. The Pasuk speaking about Kaparat Dvarim, meaning that it's his speech that is going to attain the kapara. Ataomer, Vekaparat Dvarim. What is accomplishing the kapara here? Is it his vidui on the par? Or is it the hakravat par, the dam, hapar, that reaches the mizbeach? Or really, it's going to be placed in the kodesh hakodeshim and in the kodesh. So here's the limut. Nemra kan kapara. Nemra lahalan kapara. It says over here that he will attain kapara through the par. And it says with regards to the seir that you also attain kapara. Ma kapara amura b'seir dvarim. By the Seir, it's clear that the Vidui is what attains the Kapara, because the Seir Lazazel, there is no Damim that ends up on the Mizbeach. So the only thing that can attain the Kapara is the Vidui. Av Kapara Murah Bepar, Dvarim. So too, the Kapara, the Par of the Kohen Gadol, is through his words, through his Vidui. Vim Nafshech Alomar, that doesn't satisfy you. Then we could say it this way. Ayu Omer, it says, V'ikriv Aronat Parachatata Shelo, V'chiper Ba'ado V'ad Beito. He brings the par, and then that will accomplish the kapara for him and his household. And you have yet to be shochet et a par. So it says here, v'kriv aron et a par chatat, he brings it, he attains kapara, and then v'shochet et a par. And only afterwards does he do the shechita. So the kapara is mentioned prior to anything to do with the damim. There's another proof that the fact that the kapara is attained through the vidui and not through the hakravata par. Mai v'im nafshecha lomar. Why did the Breita bring a second limud? It has one limud, which is the kapara from Seir to Par. Then it brings a second limud, which is this idea that in the Pasuk itself, the kapara is attained prior to the Shechitata Par. So why do you need that secondary proof? Wait a minute, there are two Seirim. There's a Seir that goes Lashem, and there's a Seir that goes Lazazel. You compare the par to the Seir that goes Lazazel, and therefore you said Vidui was the thing that accomplished it, because Vidui works by the Seir Lazazel, so therefore by the par. But there's also the Seir Lashem. The Seir Lashem, there is no Vidui on it, and it accomplishes its kapara simply by the Damim. So maybe you should compare it to the Seir Lashem, which is also known as the Seir Hanaseh Bifnim. So if you do that, she kapara to b'damim, so that would say that the kapara is accomplished through the blood. Therefore, I have this additional lima, which is v'chiper, the pasuk. V'adayin lo nishchat ha-par. Pasuk says that he attains kapara even prior to the shchitat ha-par. Where it says, u'minayin sheba'ana. How do you know you should use the language of ana? The Mishnah listed out the vidui of the Kohen Gadol, and it begins with ana Hashem. So nemar kan kapara, v'nermar lahalan v'chorev kapara. Says kapara here, and it mentions kapara by Har Sinai. Kapara by Har Sinai relates to the egel, the egel as zahav. So there, we use the terminology ana by there. Malahalan ba'ana, avkan ba'ana. Moshe says, ana chata am hazeh chata gidola. So he uses the term ana to beg Hashem for forgiveness. And since the terminology kapara by the Maisa egel is ulai chapra be'ad chatatchem, so the word kapara is used by the Maisa egel. And there Moshe uses the terminology ana. So to over here, we have the term kapara used. So we should also use the terminology afkan ba'ana. We should use the word ana. Minayin shebishem. How do you know that you have to use the shem Hashem to do this? Nemar kan kapara. Benemar be'egla rufa kapara. Says kapara here. And you have kapara by the egla rufa. Malahalan b'shem, afkan b'shem, just like by the Rufa, we use the shem Hashem, it says, kapar l'amcho yisrael shepadita Hashem. So there, the language that's used includes the shem Hashem. So to over here, the kapara should include the shem Hashem. Amar abaye bishlam al-chorev me'egla rufa lo yolif. I understand why Har Sinai is not learnt from the egla rufa. By chorev, we have the terminology ana used, but we don't have the shem Hashem used. It says, look, it's not meaningful to say that they should have used the shem Hashem by chorev, because my dehava hava, it's done, finished already, that's past. So there's nothing to change there. But, elegla rufat alif mi chorev. If you're already comparing all the kaparot, and saying every time it says kapara, we take the piece from each one of them, egla rufa, we take the word Hashem, or the shem Hashem from it, from chorev, we take the word ana from it, and we bring those all over here to Yom HaKippurim, why don't we say the same thing by Egla Rufa? By Egla Rufa it says Kapara. The word Hashem is already mentioned there. But it should also get the word Ana from Chorev, from Har Sinai. So why don't we use the term ana by the Egla Rufa, which is not found there? We have the language that the Goanim use. The word ana is not found there. Pite mahochanami, if you say yes, vatanan. We have a Mishnah that says, Akonim omrim, kaper lam choysel, ashep adita Hashem. We use the psukim. What's written in the psukim is what they say. Vilu bana lokamar. The word ana is not mentioned there whatsoever. Gemara leaves that as a kasho. That is a difficulty in this limud, that we really should extrapolate whatever we know by kaparat, like we're taking here to Yom Kippur, should also be taken over to Egla Rufa. And the fact that we don't is strange, because they seem to be all on the same path of kaparat, and they should also have the same trappings, which means Shem Hashem and Ana. And Egla Rufa only has the Shem Hashem, it does not have the Ana associated with it. Alright, now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah, which the Mishnah said, Behenoni Macharav, that the Am answers after the Kohen Gadol, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Voed. So Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Ki Shem Hashem Ekraha Bugodel Elokeinu. This is the source for the fact that Israel in the Mikdash answered in this way. Arlehem Moshe Israel, Moshash, Ani Maskir Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I mention the name of Hashem, Atem Havu Godel, you should aggrandize it. You should make it great. So that's the idea of Baruch Shem Kavod Machatot Naved, the response to the Shem Hashem. So in the Mikdash, we say, Kishem Hashem Ekra, then Havu Godel Elokeinu. When the Shem Hashem is called out, then you have to be Godel. You have to say something, a response that makes Shem Hashem great. And that's the Baruch Shem Kavod Machatot Naved. Kananya ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua, Kananya the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Amar Lahem Navi Yisrael, B'Shah Shani Maskir Tzadik Olamim. We mentioned the righteous one of the world, meaning the greatest Tzadik Hashem, then Atem Tznu Bracha. You should give a blessing, which is the Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Olam Voed. These are the explanations for why in the Mikdash, the response is not Amen, but rather Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Olam Voed. In the Mikdash, they use the Shem HaMefurash. The question of what was used is a Machloket HaRishonim over here. But the Shem that was used is Yudke Vavke. They just pronounced it instead of the way we say it, which is Ado Shem. They actually said Yudke Vavke, and they pronounced it that way. That's one possibility what it means, the Shem HaMefurash. The other Rishonim believe that on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol used the 42-letter Shem Hashem, and that's what is mentioned or meant by over here, the Shem Hashem. So that's the Machloket in the Rishonim as to whether the Shem Hashem that's used throughout the service on Yom Kippur, which of those Shemot Hashem are we referencing or referring to? Either way, it does require a response of Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Olam Ved instead of Amen. Because in the Mikdash, the Brachot were different. We know that from the Gemara and Brachot. It says that they used add in an additional aspect of the Brachot, which is Baruch Atah Hashem, Yisrael Me'olam V'ad Olam. They used to say Min Ha'olam V'ad Olam. They used to add that into the Bracha. And then in the response, they used to say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchut Olam V'ad, and not Amen. Right now, we continue with the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, which is Balol Mizrach Azara. He goes to the eastern side of the Azara. Because at this point, he was standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. So that's the Mizbeach towards the Kodesh, the front of the Echal. So it's the other side, the western side of the Mizbeach. Because there he was Shochet, the Par. Now he moves back to the eastern side of the Mizbeach, back towards the doorway, Tzafona Mizbeach, north of the Mizbeach. So he's on the eastern side, northeastern side of the Azara. Askan Mimino, the Skan Kohen Gadol, is on his right side. Rosh Beit Av Mismalo, and the head of the Beit Av is on his left side, accompanying him. Visham Shnei Seirim, and standing there are the two Seirim. The Kalpi Haita Sham, and there is a box or an urn that's there. Uba Shnei Goralot Shel Eshkroa Ayu. There were two lots in it, made out of Eshkroa, which is a wood, a boxwood. Va'asan Ben Gamla Shel Zahav. Ben Gamlo, when he was the Kohen Gadol, he upgraded them to golden lots instead of them being these boxwood lots. Vayumaskrino told the Shevach, and the Chachamim praised him for doing such. I mean, that was an enhancement of the service of Yom Kippur. Ben Katin, there's another Kohen Gadol, Asa Yudbet Dod the Kiyor. He made 12 taps for the Kiyor, Shalo Ayulo Elishnai. That prior to this, there were only two taps on the Kiyur. He added in, so there were 12 taps. And again, the Gemara is going to go through each of these items and explain why they made these additions or what was the benefit of these additions. Vavu Asa, in addition to that, he said a Mukhni li Kiyur. He made a Mukhni. Mukhni is a mechanism for the Kiyur. So you may mav nisalim b'linat, to prevent the waters in the Kiyur becoming pasul. Pasul b'linat means left overnight in the Mikdash. Anything that goes into a Kli Sharet, in the Mikdash once it goes overnight. Once it reaches Abot HaShachar, it becomes Pasul. So the Kiyor is a Kli Kodesh. The water that's placed in the Kiyor, if it's not utilized that day and sits overnight till the morning, it becomes Pasul Belina. So he created a mechanism by which the water was connected back to the source of the water, and therefore it would not become Pasul Belina because it was connected to the original sources of water. Munbaz HaMelech, Yaseh Kol Yadot HaKilim Sheyom HaKippurim Shel Zahav. Munbaz, who is a king very close to the time of Korban Bayit Sheni, he's a king in a place called Adiabin. He was very close to the Jews. There are stories in the Gemara that he converted and his mother converted to Judaism. But he made sure, donated, that all the Adota Kelim, all the handles of the Kelim on Yom HaKippurim that were utilized on Yom Kippur were made into gold. Hilni Imo, Helena, his mother, Asta Nivreshet Shel Zahav Al Petach Shel Heichal. She made, now Nivreshet is a brush. But as Rashi says here, Nivreshet is a menorah. The Nivrashto, in Aramaic, he says the translation of the word menorah. So she made a menorah on the top of the doorway to the Heichal. We'll see why she did that. Varvi asta tavla shel zahav. She also made a tablet of zahav, shepashat sotak tuvala, that the parashat sotah was written on it, so that they could use that for the writing of the parashat sotah. They could copy from that, instead of having to open up a Sefer Torah. Nicanor, nasu nisim ledal tutav, ve'yumizkirim atan l'shevach. Nicanor, where miracles were done to his doors, that's what the doors that entered into the Azara, Sharei Nicanor, that's the doorways to the Azara, the main doorways on the eastern side. We're going to read it in tomorrow's daf, that it was a miraculous thing happened with the doors, and that's why they were called after his name, plus the fact that he donated them. And mizkirim atan l'shevach, and they used to mention them positively. All of these individuals who did things to improve these kelim or these processes in the Mikdash. They mention these individuals positively. We'll have another list of individuals in the next Mishnah, which Mishnah is not so positive on. So as compared to these individuals in our Mishnah, which are Maskinot and the Shevach, the next Mishnah mentions people that they were not so happy with. So now the Gemara is going to go through each of these. Midikamar v'tzafon ha-mizbeach. The fact that he goes to the northern side of the Mizbeach. We know that all the Kodshei Kodashim are done on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Michlal, the Mizbeach la b'tzafon kai. Means that the Mizbeach itself is not in the north. Because here we say to him, go to the east of the Mizbeach. And then when he's on the east side of the Mizbeach, we tell him to push to the north of the Mizbeach. Now, the only reason you have to push to the north of the Mizbeach is because the Mizbeach itself, it was he's standing between the doors of the Azara and the Mizbeach, he would not be in the north. He has to move to the north to be in the north. So Mani, who's the author of that position? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi, Tatanya, Tzafona lifnei Hashem, the north before Hashem, Shehei Tzafon kulo panui divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is of the opinion that the entire Mizbeach sat in the south. The entire Mizbeach was in the south. That means that the north, lifnei Hashem, has to be completely open. Now, if that's the case, then he would have to move north of Mizbeach. You cannot be between the Mizbeach and the doors of the Azara and be in the north. The only way to be in the north is to go to north of the Mizbeach, because no part of the Mizbeach is in the northern side. Aha, Reisha, Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, hey? Wait a minute. Isn't it the Reisha? Didn't we already explain here that the Reisha goes according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? Now you're telling me that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Mar says, no, Kula, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he. We said before that he stands Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. He stands Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. That suggests that the Mizbeach, if you could stand between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and you would be in the northern side. The fact that he shechted the par which is Kodshei Kodashim, he shechted it when he was standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. That means that there's a portion of the Mizbeach that sits in the northern side. Otherwise, how could he shech the par over there? He'd have to be north of it. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he'd have to be north of Mizbeach. There's no way he could be between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. What's the mayor's answer is, nay, emend. Emend the statement of the Mishnah to say, biven ha'ulam the Mizbeach. Not that he's literally standing between the Ulam Mizbeach, but he's standing in a place that is parallel to Ben Ulam the Mizbeach. So he's not literally between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. He's shifted over to the north of that. And once he's in the north, it's in the same area that's between the Ulam Mizbeach, but on the northern side of the Mizbeach. So the whole thing is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that the entire Mizbeach is in the south, and he has to stand to the north of that. Now the Gemara says, "Hasgan mimino, scans on his right side, Rosh Beit Av l'smolo. I'm Rav Yehuda, Hamelech liyamin rabo, person who walks on the right side of his Rebbe, harizeh bur, person lacks any semblance of etiquette. Not only is he not a Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't even know Derech Eretz. It's not proper to walk to the right of your Rebbe. The Gemara says, wait a minute, Tznan, our Mishnah, Hasgan mimino, for Rosh Beit Av l'smolo. First of all, our Mishnah indicates that there is somebody walking to the right of the Kohen Gadol, And we don't have any problem with that. The Mishnah is telling you that's the proper way to be. V'ot, Tanya, we have another braita that says, Shlosha shayu ma'alchim b'derech. We have three people who are traveling together. Harav be'emtza. The Rebbe, or the important person, is in the middle. Gadol b'mino. The second from there goes to the right of him. Katan mismolo. And the lesser of, the least of the three, walks on the left side. Chayin, matzinu b'shlosha malachei asheret shubalu aitzel Abraham. We find the same thing by the malachei asheret that went to visit Abraham. Michael be'emtza. Michael is obviously the biggest of them, is in the middle. Gabriel b'mino. Gabriel is on the right. And Raphael b'smolo is on the left. Rashi points out, over there the pasuk says, nitzavim alav. They're standing on Abraham. Now, nitzavim alav would only be important if they were all on a parallel line. If they were all together. If they were standing in a row, meaning the biggest one first, and each one behind him, then you wouldn't say Nitzavim Alav, you would say Nitzav Alav, because only the first one would be standing facing Abraham, the other two would be behind him. The fact that it says Nitzavim in the plural means that all of them are standing facing Abraham. That means they're in a parallel line, one to the right, one to the left. So all three of these sources seem to indicate there's no problem standing to the right of the Rebbe. So Targuma Rav Shmuel Bar Papa Kamed Rav Ado, Kedei Shit Kase Bo Rabo. That you should really stand not to the right, literally, but behind. To the right and behind. Now the Gemara says, V'atan yamalech k'neged rabo arzib bur, acharei rabo arzib migasei aruach. Someone who walks opposite his Rebbe lacks any sense or semblance of etiquette. And acharei rabo, if he walks behind his Rebbe, arzib migasei aruach. That's a haughtiness. The Gemara says, mitzadeid atstude. He's on an angle. When they stood to the right and they stood to the left, doesn't literally mean to the right and the left. It means on a diagonal. Diagonal to the right and a diagonal to the left. Diagonal to the right means to the right and a little behind. Same thing on the left side. So they're not literally behind him, because we see that from the braita that's inappropriate. They're not literally on his side, because we saw Rabbi Yehuda already said that if you walk to the right of the individual, that's inappropriate. So you have to walk is a little behind, but to the side. That's the proper etiquette. Again, it's part of it is just establishing the hierarchy of the individuals. If you walk in a parallel line to the individual, then you don't have any sense or semblance of who is the most important person over here. Rather, they walk behind to indicate that the person in the middle is the most important, but then also not directly behind them, because that's also inappropriate to walk behind your Rebbe. So we say here, it's on the diagonal to the right and the left behind them. Great, now, Kalpi, Haitasham, Bashne Gorolot, Tan Rabbanan. So these are the gorot, these are the lots that he throws on the shnei sirim. Gorolot shall call davar. The lots themselves can be made out of anything. There's no requirement that the lots be made out of any particular material. Yochol itein shnayim al zeh u'shnayim al zeh. So you would think that you should have to have two lots on each one of them. Now exactly how that works, that you have two lots on each one of them, is not so simple. Rashi says, each one of them should get goralot. Each one of the serim should get two lots. How exactly do you throw two lots on each one of them? Tosafot discusses it a little bit. That maybe you have to pull out a lot on each one of them. And then after that, you bring out another lot on top of that. You have the lot. Say, Lashem goes on one of them. You bring out another lot, Lashem. You take out another lot, Lazazel, on them. Or the possibility is that once you've taken out the lots and put Lashem, Lazazel, you switch them to the other one. So now you have lots on each one of them. Whatever it is, you have to do something that doesn't involve just having one lot here, because it's in plural. Tamal Omar, the Pasuk says, Goral Lashem, Vigoral Lazazel. So, ein kan l'shem, elo goral echad. There's only one goral v'lashem. Ein kan l'azazel el echad. There's only one for azazel. The yachol yitain shoshem v'shel azazel azeh. Shoshem v'shel azazel azeh. So I would think, okay, there's only one lot l'shem, one lot l'azazel, but they both have to end up on each one of the se'irim. And the way Rashi terms it over here is, you get to choose. V'ezer shi'irtzeh yaseh l'shem. You get to choose which one you do l'shem. You take both goralot, you place it on one seir, you take both goralot, you place it on the other seir, and then you make the decision. Tosafot's not so happy with that. He says, because the determination of which one's Lashem and which one is Lazazel is clearly through the goral. It's not through your choice. The goral has to be the one that determines it. The Tosafot says, the Yerushalmi says, which is, you put another Shalshem al Hashem, Vishal Azazel Azazel, and then Yachlil. And then you switch them around, retain Shalzel Zel, the Kayim Hashanim are goralot. So the goral will pick which one. And then you'll switch the goralot, even though they're on the right one, just to say you have both goralot on each one of them. But the first one rule that you had Lashem on will remain Lashem, the other one Lazazel. It says, Inami, lachar shenikvu, yavo od bit goralot, shoshem shalazel, v'yaniach alshem, alshem, shoshem, v'shalzel, zazel. Or maybe after you've already chosen them through the goralot, you bring another shoshem and put it on it, another shalazel and put it on it, so you have multiple, because of this idea that there's goralot in plural. Tomar Lomar, the pasuk says, Goral Echad Hashem, Ein Ken Lashem El Echad, Ein Ken Lazazel El Echad. So therefore, the word echad comes to teach you that not only is there only one Lashem and one Lazazel, Goral echad, there's only one that goes on each one of these items, and therefore there are two lots in the box, and you take out a lot, so one of them goes Lashem, one of them goes the Azazel. Imkein, ma'atam alomar goralot. So why is it goralot and plural? Shiyu shavim. They should be equal. So that you don't stack the lottery. Problem is here that, we'll see this later on, that there was a skula to have the Lashem kind of on the right hand of the Kohen Gadol. Since right is considered to be more chashuv, they wanted Lashem to be picked out on the right side and Lazazel to go on the left side. So you could stack the lottery to come out that way by changing the lots. Don't, you could do this. Make one out of gold, one out of silver. Echad gadol ve'echad katan, one big, one small. Gorlot comes to teach you that they have to be equal or even, so that you don't stack the lot. The lot is literally a random lot that he's picking out. Then, gorlot shel kol davar. Gorlot comes to teach you that it's made of any material. Pshita, why would you think you need a specific material for the lots? Otzricha, v'ketanya. I would have had a half a minute to say otherwise because of this brighter. The fish, matzino b'tzitz. Sheshem katuv alav. By the tzitz, we have the Shem Hashem written on the tzitz. V'hu shel zahav. And the tzitz is made out of gold. So I would extrapolate from this, yachol av zekein. So to the lot. The lot has Hashem's name written on it. So if it has Hashem's written on it, maybe that's name written on it, maybe that's had the same material as the tzitz. Tamalomar, goral, goral, riba. So, goral, goral, it says goral numerous times, to come to be mirabeh, other materials. So it's interesting here, and as Tosafot points out, didn't we just say before the word goralot, in plural, teaches you that it can be of any material, and now all of a sudden the Gemara is saying, no, it's because the word goral is mentioned so many times. So Tosafot says the word goralot is just the introduction to the Braita. That's not the source for the fact that we have multiple materials can be used, but rather goralot's the introduction, then they go on to discuss the plural version of the word and what that means, or the implications of that. Now the Gemara comes back to discuss the source for the fact that you can have multiple materials. It's not from the word goralot, but rather from the word goral, goral. So riba shel zayit, you can use olive wood. Riba shel egoz, you can use wood of nuts or nut trees. Riba shel eshkroa, you can use this boxwood. And that there's no particular material that must be used for the goralot. The only requirement is that they be the same. And that's what we said in our Mishnah, then Ben Gamla upgraded them to be gold. After they were of wood for a series of time or for a period of time, then he made them into gold. Ben Katin asah 12 dod l'kiyor. He made 12 taps to the kiyor. Tano kideshu 12 echav hakohanim asukim v'tamin mikadshim yideim raglem bevat achat. From the Mishnah earlier, we saw that there are 12 kohanim that come out of the goral in the morning. When they used to pick the kohanim to do the korban tamid, there were 12 individuals involved in the process of the korban ha-tamid. So in order for those 12 people who are going to be asuk with the korban tamid, they were able to wash their hands and feet at the same time. So that all those 12 people didn't have to wait in line, they didn't have to wait for each one of them, they could all work together, wash their hands and feet, and then go off to the avodah tamid. Now Tana tells you why our Mishnah says originally there were two taps on the kiyor. Why were there originally two taps on the kiyor? Shachrit bimiluo. In the morning, when the kiyor was filled to the top, mikadeshia davraglav in elyon, they used to use the upper tap on the kiyor because the water level was above the upper tap. Then Arvit, in the evening time, when they had to wash their hands and feet, Biridato, the water already had descended within the Kiyor, Gadesh Adogalav, Minatachton. They used to use the lower tap, because the water level had dropped below the upper tap. And that's why there were originally two taps on the Kiyor. One tap for the upper level of water, and another tap for the lower level of water. I mean, technically, you could use the lower tap for everything, but they did it in this way, I guess, to designate how much water to use for the morning and how much water to use for the afternoon. The upper tap was for the morning washing, and the lower tap was for the afternoon washing. But then he improved the Kiyor to have 12 taps, and it seems like at that point it was no longer relevant, unless also in his situation they had 12 taps on top, 12 taps on the bottom, again, because of the level of the kiyor, that's a possibility that the Bright is also describing even the 12 taps. Vavu asa mukhni the kiyor, my mukhni, what is this mechanism? Amar baye gilgula. It was a wheel. It was some sort of mechanism wheel that helped to move the kiyor, the water that sourced the kiyor up and down. Davi Mishakale used to submerge it in the evening. So this mechanism brought the water up to the kiyor, and at night, when they didn't need the water there, it resubmerged the water down below, so it wouldn't be pasul belina. It stayed in the Kli HaKodesh above, not attached to the source of the water, it would become pasul belina. So this mechanism allowed it to drop back down and be submerged in the source of water, so it wouldn't allow it to become pasul belina. Munbaz HaMelech Asa Koyodota Kelim Mizahav. He made all the handles of the kelim out of gold. So Mara says, "Navdino the didhu the zahav." Why don't they make the kelim themselves out of gold? Why is it that he only made the handles out of gold? So Amar Abaye be adot sakinim. We're talking about the handles of the knives. So gold is not good material for a knife itself. So they didn't make the knife, the blade of the knife, out of gold, because that wouldn't make sense. So there they only changed out the handles. So because of that, that's why we're only talking about handles. We're not talking about the kelim themselves. Meiteve afu asa kane kelim v'ugne kelim. So we have a braita that says that he upgraded all of these things, which is the kanei kelim are the bases of the kelim, ognei are the rims, and yadot are the handles of the kelim. And in addition to that, yadot sakinim, the handles of the knives, so yomakirim shel zahav. So the problem here is that in the braita it mentions separately the sakinim and the kelim. So it's clear here that there's two different things. There's the handles of the knives and the handles of the kelim independently or separately. So Targama Abaye, Bikatata, the Narge Vechatzine. Talking about here are the handles of the Narge, Rashi says kardumot, or hatchets, or axes. And Chatzine, Rashi says the magal, which is the scythe. Chatzine could also be an adze. So these are also types of cutting instruments or chopping instruments. So again, using gold for the Ikar Kli is not efficacious. It doesn't work. So therefore they use marzel, they use iron or metal for the core of the kli, and only the handles were made out of gold. So it's not just the knives, there are other materials or other instruments in the Mikdash where they had handles that were made out of gold and the remainder was made out of metal. Right now, this is an important sugya here about the Mivreshet, because it has major implications about the times for davening, which is Tana, B'shasha Chama Zorachat. So we have a braita that says, at the time that the sun rose, the Tosefta says, Zorachat Nitzotzot Yotzim Mimena. Then there used to be rays or sparkles that came out of this Mivreshet. V'kol Yodim Shigi Azman Kriyat Shema. And everybody knew it's time to say Kriyat Shema. Meitevei, is that really true? In the Mikdash, Korea, Tashma Shacharitim Anshe Mishmar. Then Shia Mishmar, who were working on the Korban Tamid, they had said Shema early. And it says there that if you say Shema together with the Anshei Mishmar, you're not Yotze. They say Shema too early, because they're going to get involved in the Korban HaTamid. So to ensure that they said Shema, they said it before the Zman. And then again, they repeated it later, if they had time to repeat it later. But if you, as an individual, joined the Mishmar and said Shema with them, you would not be Yotze, because it was too early in the morning when they said Shema. V'Anshei Mamad. And if you're talking about the Anshei Mamad, those are the Yisraelim that represent Klal Yisrael with regards to the Korban HaTamid. They stand over the Avodah Tamid as if they are the Balim, the owners of this Korban, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, Lo Yatsa. Over there, you're also not Yotze, because they say Kriyat Shema too late. They're so involved in the Tamid that they don't say Kriyat Shema until after the Tamid is over, when it's too late to say Kriyat Shema. So if you sit there, you're not Yotze. Mipnei Shanshei Mishmar Mashkimim. The Anshei Mishmar say it too early. Anshei Mamad Me'achrim. And Anshei Mamad say it too late. So here in the Mikdash, if anybody's saying Kriyat Shema, they're not saying it at the proper time. So what is the point of this Mivreshet that is shining light, and all of a sudden they're saying Kriyat Shema then? Tell you that Zman Kriyat Shema comes. It wasn't relevant to the parties in the Mikdash when Zman Kriyat Shema was, because they were missing Zman Kriyat Shema anyway. So Amar Abaye, the Shar Amod B'Yerushalayim. So the remainder of the people in Yerushalayim means anybody else who's in attendance in the Mikdash or standing there, it's valuable for them to know that the Zman Kriyat Shema has come. Now, what the issue here is, and this is a serious issue, you can see there's a very large Tosafot over here that deals with it, is when is Zman Kriyat Shema? Over here, it's indicated through the Gemara that when did the Mivreshet light up? Is when the sun hit the Mivreshet. Well, that means already the sun had risen. If the sun had risen already, that means that Zman Kriyat Shema is after sunrise. Now, is that really true? Is it that the Zman Kriyat Shema is after sunrise? We know that from the Gemara in Brachot, it says they would be mitpalel kivatikim, because they wanted to tefillah imanetzach amo. They wanted to daven Shemone Esrei with the sunrise. Well, the only way to daven Shemone Esrei with the sunrise and be so mekeula letefillah, meaning having Kriyat Shema beforehand and then lead right into tefillah, is to say that Kriyat Shema is done before sunrise. The Gemara in Brachot seems to indicate that the time of Kriyat Shema is prior to sunrise, and yet over here the Gemara seems to indicate that the Zman of Kriyat Shema is after sunrise. So that presents a very difficult issue or a difficult problem here for the poskim. Tosafot spends a lot of time with this. First of all, he talks about what is the Ikar Halacha with regards to Kriyat Shema. When is the proper time to say Kriyat Shema? We have a machloket in the Mishnayot and Brachot as to the proper time of Kriyat Shema. And Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says that you can say it ad gimel sha'ot, that you can say it until the third hour of the day. But we have other Tanaim over there that say that Kriyat Shema is only good from the time that you can see or differentiate between Tchelet and Lavan until Netzachama, until sunrise. And then we have Abaye over there who paskins halacha. That halacha is like Rabbi Yoshua, that you can say into three, but despite the fact that halacha is like Rabbi Yoshua, it's proper to do it kivatikin. Well, if you get proper to do it kivatikin, means before the netzachama. So Abaye seems to indicate the halacha that the proper or the best way to do Kriyat Shema is kivatikin. And Tosafot says we should pass on like Abaye because he's a batra, he's a late amora. When it comes to late amoraim, in general, we give precedence to their psak halacha. Therefore, the halacha should be like Abaye, and that the proper time to say Kriyat Shema should be prior to the netzachama, prior to sunrise. And if that's the case, then what is going on over here that we demand that you wait till after sunrise in order to do it? In addition to that, you also will not daven Shemoneh Esrei with the sunrise then, because you're saying Kriyat Shema with the sunrise, that means that Shemoneh Esrei will be pushed back even further. Number two is the pasuk that they darshan over there is Yira'ucha im HaShemesh, that we will see you with the Shemesh. Over there, the Gemara darshans with that with regards to tefillah, not Kriyat Shema, that says that in the morning you should daven with the sunrise. And in the evening, for Mincha, you should daven with the sunset. There, the Gemara rejects the sunset aspect because it's too dangerous. It's too risky to daven by sunset because you can miss the time, and then you add on Mincha. So we don't encourage you to daven right by sunset. But nevertheless, the Gemara says about tefillah, not about Kriyat Shema. You say it with the sunrise, and you say it with the sunset. So all of this would indicate that what we're saying here is problematic or cholek on our Gemara over there. So Tosafot in the end suggests the din should be you do it before the sunrise. The problem is you're dealing with the hamonam. You're dealing with the people of the street. You're not talking about a time when they had watches, not a time when they had all the luach zmanim that gave you the exact time of sunrise. So you're depending on the common people to get it right and to daven Shemoneh Esrei right after sunrise, which is a very fine line when you don't have clocks and you don't have the ability to discern. So the symbol over here was a way to tell the people in Yerushalayim that sunrise had came, and then we'd say Kriyat Shema there. So they delayed a little bit with the Kriyat Shema in order to ensure that the daven Shemoneh Esrei after the Netzachama. Because if you daven Shemoneh Esrei before Netzachama, it's only bidyevet. It's only bidyabad to daven before Netzachama. The tzachadchila to daven afterwards. So it's a big problem to daven Shemoneh Esrei too early. So in order to prevent that problem, they delayed a little bit and said Kriyat Shema after the sunrise in order to ensure that Shemoneh Esrei was definitely after sunrise. But not that's the Ikar Locha. The Ikar Locha is that you can say Kriyat Shema before sunrise. And you can say Shemoneh Esrei right at the sunrise. And despite the fact that over here, im hanetzachama here means prior to the netzachama. And im hanetzachama in the Gemara Brachot means after the netz, after the sunrise. So Tosafot says that's not a problem. The word im means together with. It can mean a little before or a little afterwards. So in our Gemara over here, it means im hanetzachama means prior to the netzachama, completing it with the sunrise. Versus the Gemara Brachot, im hanetzachama, was talking about Shemoneh Esrei, was talking about after the sunrises. They used to daven Shemoneh Esrei im, close to the sunrise, meaning right after the sunrise. Tosafot makes an interesting observation here with regards to tefillah, which is that even though tefillah is connected to tamid, and the avodat tamid, as we saw here in the Gemara in Yoma, begins about the shachar, nevertheless, the ikar zman of tefillah is from netzachama, it's still from sunrise. Despite the fact that there's that inconsistency that we work on the tamid already starting at avodat shachar, nevertheless, we only start davening from netzachama. And that the Gemara Megillah, the Mishnah Megillah, says that anything that's mitzvah tabiyom, anything that's a mitzvah yom, the ikar mitzvah starts from netzachama, from the sunrise. Even though if you went back to alot ha-shachar, it would be bidyevad, it would be okay. Nevertheless, the ikar mitzvah starts from netzachama. The same thing is true by tefillah. We say yira'ucha ima shemesh, that we see you with the shemesh, that we see you with the sunrise, and that's Gemara Darshan with regards to tefillah. That's one possibility, he says. The other possibility is that these two Gemaras argue that there's a stira or a machloka between the Gemaras, and we paskin like Abaye. Abaye, who paskins in the Gemara in Brachot, that batikin is Shema before Netzachama and Shemoneh Esrei afterwards. So that's Tosafot's conclusion as to the difference between these two positions over there. Now, what's very interesting is that he also brings the Rabbeinu Tam. Amir Rabbeinu Tam perished Abaye Nami Hochisvirle, that Abaye also holds like our Gemara over here. Ad the Kamar the Kriyat Shema Batikin Simana Ba'alma. Kriyat Shema Batikin means it's a siman. He didn't believe that the Batikin did it right. He was just using it as a siman. Chomar, Samuch Lanetz. You do it right around sunrise. Not that you daven like the Vatikin, but you do it afterwards. And he says the Vatikin in the Gemara and Brachot did it wrong. They were incorrect. They daven too early. They said Kriyat Shema too early. And they were wrong, and our Gemara is the Ikar Locha. What's interesting here is, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, the Vatikin, in order to daven Shemoneh Esrei, B'Netzachama, were willing to say Kriyat Shema before the Netzachama. And that means that for tefillah, which is, according to most, only a din derabbanon, and Kriyat Shema is a din d'oraita, they were subverting a din d'oraita of Kriyat Shema and doing it at the wrong time in order to daven Shemone Esrei Iman Eitz HaChama, which seems very strange. The Rabbeinu Tam believes that the Zman of Kriyat Shema is after Neitz HaChama. So you have a machloket between Rabbeinu Tam, the other Balei HaTosafot, as to when the proper time for Kriyat Shema is. Is Kriyat Shema only after the sun rises, or even before the sun rises? And we don't paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam Halacha, we paskin like Abaye and like the Balei HaTosafot over here, that Zman Kriyat Shema is from the time that you can differentiate between Tchelet and Levanan until Neitz HaChama, which is the Ikar time, and then you have from Neitz HaChama until Shloshaot if you didn't do it until that point in time. But here you see Tosafot over here grappling with our Gemara, which seems to indicate otherwise, and therefore there are people who are makbid that when they daven Vasikin, when they daven prior to Neitz HaChama, they say Kriyat Shema prior to Neitz HaChama, that they repeat Kriyat Shema afterwards. For this reason, because of this Rabbeinu Tam, that the possibility that the Gemara here indicates that Kriyat Shema is said after Neitz HaChama, not prior to Neitz HaChama. Vafi Asta Tavla, she made a tablet on which the Parshat HaSotah was written. Shpamina, Kotvim Megillah LeTinok LeTamedba. Sounds like you can make a Megillah, you can write a portion of the Torah. Not a whole Torah, but you can write a portion of a Torah on a tablet, to Machloket, the Gemara Gitin, as to whether you can do such a thing, that you can write a Megillah for a Tinok. Our Gemara would indicate yes, the answer is yes, because she took a section of the Torah and put it onto a tablet. So Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Anai, Aleph Bet. No, she didn't write it out completely, they wrote it out with Roshei Tevot. She didn't write the whole Parsha out, she wrote it out and they used Roshei Tevot to tell you what the Parsha was. Meitav, is that really true? So he says, when he wrote the Parshat Sotah, he'd look at the plate or the tablet, and then he'd copy off of that to write Parshat Sotah. Well, if it's not written there, how is he copying off of it? And when it says, it's not writing exactly what's on the tablet, he's writing like what's on the tablet, meaning he uses that as a guide because it has the Roshei Tevot there. He looks at the tablet and he writes what's there. What's written on the tablet? Im shachav ishotach, im lo shachav. Im satit, im lo satit. So here we have not Roshei Tevot, you have actual words that are written there. Now this is just headers for the different parts of it. As Tosafot points out, it's even out of order. The psukim don't actually say it this way. The psukim are in the other order. And some of this is not mentioned, but it's just giving you the basics of what's written in there. Where it says, hotam b'sirugim. It was done in alternating form. Sirugim means in skipping or alternating form, which is the header. When it started out, it says, Im shachav ishotach. That's how it started. And then the rest of it was Roshei Tevot. The rest of it was just abbreviations of what was there, so that you knew where you were. It gave you a location and started off. Then when you got to Im lo shachav or Im satit, lo satit, it would start again in full writing, and then continue in Roshei Tevot, so that you knew where you were up to in the tablet. So it wasn't just all Roshei Tevot, and it was a bunch of letters, made it hard to understand. It gave you place markers along the way. It gave you headers to the sections. And those headers then went into Roshei Tevot afterwards. But once you say that, you have no proof as to whether you're allowed to write a Megillah for a child to learn from, because that's not the way that this was written. Now, even though you have to write Mitoch HaKtav, as a general principle, when you write a Sefer Torah, when you write something, you have to write Mitoch HaKtav. You have to look into something that's written already and then copy out of it. Tosafot over here points out, maybe Roshei Tevot or Roshei Psukim is enough, and that is considered to be Mitoch HaKtav. Or he says the possibility is by Parsha Ktana. By small parshiot, we don't demand that you write mitoch haktav because it's shkura b'fihem, that you know it well. So it says that by tefillin and mezuzot, where those parshiot of Shema, everybody knows them well, you don't have to necessarily write them mitoch haktav because they're known so well. We still do it, and we're makbid that everybody writes mitoch haktav, but that's how he justifies the practice here, that they did it after this Megillah, even though it didn't really have the writing on it. Either because Roshei Tevot count, or because it's a small parsha. And since it's a small parsha, you can write it even shalom mitoch haktav because you knew the parsha well. Okay, we'll stop over here.